بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، خالق الخلائق اجمعين، بعث الانبياء والمرسلين، والصلاه والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى اهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الارضين، روحي وارواح العالمين لتراب مقام الفداء، ولعنة الله على اعدائهم اجمعين الى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
For his health and well-being, let's recite the second one louder.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Inshallah, each and every one of us becomes a true and close companion of our beloved Imam. Let's recite the third one even louder.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We've been talking about how using Karbala, using Imam al-Hussein as a reference, as we commemorate him, as we commemorate Karbala, as we commemorate the sacrifice on the day of Ashura, the ultimate sacrifice that has not been seen before or after. And we don't want to only benefit from it in the emotional way, which is important, and we should. It's important that we do. But limiting it to it is not what we're trying to do, and that's what lectures every year should be here for. We've been trying to use that, and also the Qur'an, to inshallah build ourselves to get closer to where the Imam wants us to be. We need to be prepared for our Imam. We need to be reliable followers of the Imam, otherwise the coming of the Imam will be postponed. I have mentioned this hadith before. I think in these series we haven't mentioned on the minbar this hadith about the amr of the Ahlul Bayt, the matter of establishing the government of the Ahlul Bayt in a sustainable way that would lead to human prosperity, which has been promised in the Qur'an in multiple verses, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for instance, says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَالدِّينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا in Surah Al-Fatih. He is the one that sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of truth in order to make it prevail over all other. And God is sufficient as a witness. This is one promise. Numerous other verses mention this as well. Islam will cover the earth. God has made that promise. When? With the government of the Ahlul Bayt that will continue, and people will willingly حَتَّى تُسْكِنَهُ أَرْضَكَ طَوْعًا. People will flock towards Islam. Don't be deceived by what you see and you think everything is moving in the wrong direction. No, those days are over. We have started the era where people have started, but we will see more signs, and we will see how people will flock towards the religion of God. And this verse will come true. At that time, at the time of the Prophet, this promise was made. And it's so substantial and so unbelievable, God ends the verse by saying, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. God is a witness to this. That this will be true. This is true. It will happen. This is referred to in our ahadith as amrikum, or amru ahlil bayt. Various ahadith. There's one hadith that says the amr of the ahlul bayt was supposed to occur in the year 70 It was postponed for what reason? For the reason of the believers that Imam al-Mujtaba, Imam al-Hussein, trained for 20 years, taught them Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Recite salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Recite another salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
What was the reason why it was postponed according to the hadith? There were believers that were trained for 20 years by Imam al-Hassan right after the treaty was accepted. That was the whole plan of Imam al-Mujtaba and Imam al-Hussein. They trained him for 20 years. We mentioned this, I think, very briefly. They wrote letters to Imam al-Hussein because of that training. The plan was already in place. In the midst of it, Shayateen meddled around with it, but that's not important. Shayateen, remember this verse, it's such an important verse. Every time or any time you feel that the followers of truth are losing or missing out, or the enemies of Islam are gaining on them or whatever, you start getting worried, remember this verse. لَنْ يَضُرَّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Another divine promise in the Quran. It's how God's system works. لَنْ يَضُرَّكُمْ. It will never harm you. مَنْ ضَلَّ. The one who is misled. إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Of course. The condition is, if you follow guidance. إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ means following guidance. Not having it with you. The book is sitting in my room. In my house, in every single one of them, I carry it on my arm, I carry it on my neck, in such small print I can't even read it. I don't follow it. Following guidance. If you follow guidance, the believers that Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein trained, they didn't follow through. So the plan fell through. And what happened there? The hadith says because of that, it was postponed. For how long? For another 70 years. It was supposed to occur in the year 140 after the Hijrah, the time of Imam al-Sadiq. Imam Zain al-Abidin worked hard, according to the hadith, from three individuals on the face of the earth. Only three real believers. Three believers that followed the Ahlul Bayt. From three. At the beginning of the Imam of Imam Zain al-Abidin, after Karbala, you have the likes of Abu Khalid al-Kabuli, that Imam Zain al-Abidin trains, and he moves later on after he's trained to Kabul. From there, he expands the movement of the Ahlul Bayt, he talks to people about it, he creates the love of the Ahlul Bayt. An entire region, at the time of Imam Sadiq, they all joined the uprising that chanted the right of the Ahlul Bayt. Why? Because of the work of Imam Zain al-Abidin. Imam Zain al-Abidin worked hard, Imam al-Baqir worked hard. Imam al-Sadiq, difficult times. At the time of Imam Sadiq, there were so many people that were waiting and wanting the government of the Ahlul Bayt. Numerous ahadith, people going from various parts of the Islamic Empire at the time, to Imam Sadiq in Medina. Why aren't you uprising? We're ready. There's 100,000, 200,000. All those ahadith. Why? You feel the questions that are coming. The feel you get for the time is that everybody's talking about this. Why? The Umayyads preach this on their minbar. The Umayyads were preaching La'an and Sab, cursing the Ahlul Bayt. using foul language, fabricating hadith against Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's their propaganda. Every single Friday, every single sermon throughout the Islamic Empire. Why is it during the time of Imam Sadiq? So many people are interested in the government of the Ahlul Bayt. Worked hard. The hadith says, some of the companions of the Ahlul Bayt, they were not able to keep the secrets of the Ahlul Bayt. And that's another series of hadith we have about that time. Keeping the secret of the Ahlul Bayt was that the Ahlul Bayt were leading a movement underground. And there were members that were close to the Imams, that were supposed to be able to keep their mouths shut. Interesting ahadith. Ahlul Bayt worked hard. Again, we're not familiar with them. There's a hadith, Jabir ibn Yazid al-Jurfi, one of our great Kufi companions of the Imam, one of those real companions. That wasn't only a scholar, although he was that, but he was a lot more than that. He went for Hajj, he went to Medina, his companion tells us this. It's narrated in, I believe, in Tashfi's book of Rijal, and it's found, if I remember correctly, in Al-Kafi as well. There's a couple of references for this hadith. You say salawat, please?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
His companion says, when we went to Medina after Hajj, he saw Imam Sadiq, he was so happy. Time came for us to leave. We left Medina, we went towards Kufa. He was still so happy, chit-chatting, joking around. Until in one of the stops, we're spending the night, a messenger came from Medina. The companion says, I recognize this was, must have been from Imam Sadiq. He gave him a letter. He gave him a letter. Jabir read the letter, and that was it. No longer happy. So I was wondering what happened there. And he destroyed the letter. Usually, if you have a letter from Imam Sadiq, I mean, it's his handwriting, right? Wouldn't you want to keep it? Why did Jabir destroy it? He got rid of it. Taqiyya. This is the meaning of taqiyya. Taqiyya to tursul mu'min. It's a shield. You're in combat. You're fighting. Not fearing and escaping and running away. Misunderstanding of taqiyya. It's not an easy way out. It's a difficult way of fighting. The numerous ahadith we have about taqiyya are during this period. And it was that particular instruction that was not heeded to. They did not go by that instruction. That's why the secrets were revealed. Jabir went all the way to Kufa. His companion is with him. He said, we arrived in Kufa. Next day, I went to check out Jabir. He's acting weird. I couldn't find him around where I normally find him. He's outside of town, playing with kids, has a stick, as acting like it's his horse, and making noises like different animals. And I go up to him, like, Jabir, what's up? Making, continues making it as though he doesn't know me. And I just kept, what's wrong with you? The response was, I don't know what happened to him last night, but he's lost it. One day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. A letter came from Damascus. Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, one of the ruthless Umayyads, last of the Umayyad rulers. To the governor of Kufa, find Jabir ibn Yazid al-Jurfi, behead him. On site. He's a dangerous man. Take him out. Soldiers went out trying to find him. He's nuts. He's lost it. They come tell the governor, look, this is the truth. You really want us to do this? He said, bring him to me. I have to see this. You bring him to him. Check him, everything. He put a real good play on. Few days. That's taqiyya. Okay. you're working so hard against the system, the tyranny, that they'll send secret letters, take them out, no questions. But God saves. The Imam sent the letter to him. Not that he was afraid of death, no. The Imam wanted to keep him alive. He was needed alive right now. When the time comes, just like, if he didn't want to get killed, he wouldn't have done this. He knew these were the consequences. The point we're trying to make from the hadith, this is an instance. The Ahlul Bayt were working towards establishing that government during the years of the presence, each era, each period, each time, depending on the circumstance, they behaved differently. At the time Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, or at the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, was one way, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein another way, Imam Zain al-Abidin through Imam Sadiq the third way, Imam al-Qadim was different, Imam Qadim's life is amazing. The only thing we hear is, oh my God, he was in prison. We just cry about that. Wonder why he was in prison. You know what he did in prison? You know what he did outside of prison? He got them so angry. The Amr of the Ahlul Bayt was supposed to occur in the year 140 after the failure of the believers. According to the hadith, this is not analysis. The hadith says, in the year 70, it was postponed, that first instance of it, because of the failure of the believers. Second time, again, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, they did not keep the secrets of the Ahlul Bayt. The movement was hijacked. Instead of the government of the Ahlul Bayt being established, the Abbasids claimed that they were the Ahlul Bayt, fooled the masses. The masses followed them. They established the government of the Abbasids around that same period. It was supposed to happen in 140, that the government of the Ahlul Bayt is established. Around that same time, the government of the Abbasids got established. They didn't keep secrets. In other words, again, failure of the believers. If we fail, if we're not prepared, it's going to get postponed. That's why it's gotten postponed so much. We have to prepare ourselves. We're using Karbala and the Holy Quran. What I want to talk about tonight is to correct another misunderstanding. We have a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of misconceptions about life, about the world, about creation, about ourselves, about how things work. A lot of misconceptions that we need to correct. What do we correct it with? The Quran. Unfortunately, we don't read the Quran to understand who we are, to understand what the cosmos are, how they function, how things work. We don't read it for that. And because of that, we misunderstand how things function and then we make wrong decisions. The one I'm thinking about for tonight is the notion that we are going to be obtaining guidance. There's a misunderstanding we have. We think that my prayer, my fasting, it's going to be a difficult one. I hope Allah helps me present this in a way that's pleasing to Him and I'm accurate on explaining exactly how the Quran explains it. And nothing other than that. It's difficult. It's going to raise some questions. I hope Allah gives me the ability to recite a salawat for that.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We think my prayer, my fasting, my hajj, my dhikr, my dua, my Muharram exercise, coming here, this is the cause of me being guided. The way we ask the question about guidance, what do I need to do in order to get closer to the Imam, right? Even the language I used earlier today, we need to build ourselves, right? We're going to correct that. So what I do, I'm trying to study this. I want the Quran, where is it? You know, what can I find? People go to Ajla Bahjat. I want to better myself. I want to become a better person. What do I need to do? Question after question after question. And of course there's no follow-up. It's just a nice question to ask. Because the answers are so vague and I already know them. People go to Ajla Bahjat, can you tell me? Dhikr. Yeah, remember God, don't do haram, do wajibat. Done. Okay, that was simple. Again, back to life. All these questions, so there's something I have to do to get guided, to be guided. This is a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding that causes a problem. What's the problem? The problem is ujub, one of the worst things that could ever happen to you. You think what you do is going to lead to guidance, right? So then when you do something good, obviously, what's the cause of that? I did something. I feel good about myself. I was the cause, right? And then they tell us, don't feel good. How does that work? Didn't I do that? I did that prayer, right? I was able to be humble. I was able not to allow a compliment get to my head, and while I'm thinking that, it's actually gotten already to my head. How can I do this? How is that possible? Ujub is a big problem. Let me give you a hadith. Very interesting. And of course, I think these are topics that we're giving reminders. You know, these are not new things. We're reminding. Reminders are good. We've heard things, inshallah, you've heard all of what we're saying. Inshallah, these are reminders. Right? The hadith says, ujub, feeling good about yourself, that I'm something good. I did good. Forget about telling anybody else. That's a different thing. Right. That's a different thing. Where everybody's talking about, you know, the benefits of this, and then you just have this urge inside you. I have to say, yeah, I did this and I saw this result. Now I'm trying to say this is the result of the action, but what I'm really trying to do is to say I did that. And it's so difficult to spot. It doesn't have to, that's a riyah, right? It doesn't have to be at the beginning of the action. We have this in the Quran. Some people do it initially for that reason. They have no intention of doing it for God to begin with. They have every intention of doing it for the sake of people seeing it. But then you have those, hopefully, we're not that bad, inshallah. I'm probably that bad or even worse. But they do it for the sake of God, even in private, but then there's a time where there's that urge, I have to say this to somebody. But ujub has nothing to do with telling anyone. It has everything to do with the feeling you have about yourself internally. You don't share it with anyone. That's a completely different thing. We have hadith. If you think you're good, and I'm doing good, I'm proud of myself, it's so bad that if God likes you and wants to do you a favor, he'll make you commit a sin so that you feel horrible about yourself. You do tawbah. The solution, you don't go and do sin yourself, you felt good about yourself. You know, say, the solution is let me commit a sin. That's shaitan. He has multiple ways of fooling us. No, you don't need to do it. Try your best to avoid it. But God will bring about a situation you'll commit a sin. And you realize, that's him doing you a favor. It's that bad. It's that bad. Or in other hadith we have that sometimes to prevent preventative measures, a really good believer, God sees this person as moving towards, he continues praying the night prayers on a roll, he's going to start having that feeling. God makes him sleep through it, waking up feeling miserable. Oh, that's good. Feel that way about yourself. It's a good thing, it's not a bad thing. It's not depressing. That's a different thing. Recite salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
If we think what we do leads us to guidance, gets us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way but to have that feeling. It's just natural. You're going to have that feeling. And then, as much as we tell ourselves, I don't want to have it, I don't want to have it, but then you're in a dilemma. How do I resolve this issue? Well, the answer from the Quran is no. You don't guide yourself. You don't do things to receive guidance. It doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with me. I'm not the cause of it. I'm the recipient of it. The prayer isn't the cause for receiving guidance. The prayer I do is receiving guidance and blessings right there. That prayer is a blessing I just received. The fasting is a blessing that God has given me. It's not mine. It's a blessing of His, not mine. Hajj, similar. Belief in Islam, similar. Following the Ahlul Bayt. Love of the Ahlul Bayt. There are numerous verses in the Holy Quran that clearly state this. I won't mention the really difficult ones that will cause me trouble and I'll have to answer a lot of questions and I still can't convince people because it's one of those very difficult ones. I won't mention those verses. I'll mention some of the ones that are, they don't mention it in that way where it gives us problems. And you're thinking, what the heck is this guy talking about? There's two sets of verses. Or there's verses that are blatantly stating a fact about creation that we always have trouble understanding. I don't want to get into that. It's related to this, but I don't want to get into that. It has to do with free will. But the ones that don't mention it in that way, there's a few references I'll give you. One of them is in Surah Al-Ahzab. Recite the salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما. تحيتهم يوم يلقونه سلام وأعد لهم أجرا عظيما. I forgot the last bit. not sure if it's Ajr al-Azim or Kabira, I think it's Ajr al-Azim. He is the one that sends his blessing. Yusalli is a present tense verb, which when used in regards to Allah, is constant. He is sending his salawat, which is another word for rahmah in a different way. And there are some differences that people have mentioned, but just to simplify it, he's the one that yusalli alaykum, sends his blessings upon you. Wa malaikatuhu, and he's created angels whose job is to ask God to send his blessings upon you, and they are the medium, they're intermediaries through whom that guidance comes, that blessing comes to mankind. هُوَ الَّذِي, the emphasis is هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, to remove you from darkness into light. He does that, you don't do that. And this is وَكَانَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, he's always been merciful to the mu'mini. And the second verse, تَحِيَّتُهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُمْ, such a beautiful verse. The greetings of those believers, or of the believers, يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُمْ, the day that they will meet him upon death, salam, peace, which is not words uttered, it's everything, which we'll leave for another time. You can just have fun with that verse, it's a beautiful verse. Repeated, these are things that we're told to repeat. There's one reference. Another reference, the third verse, that when we say do Ayatul Kursi, we usually do Ayat. We don't do Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi is one verse, the first verse that ends with وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ, that's the end of Ayatul Kursi. The two other verses are good to recite with it at times, but it's not necessary. Ayatul Kursi is that one verse. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, all the way to وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. That's Ayatul Kursi. And there's two other verses. The last one is Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur walladhina kafaru awliyahum at-taghut. We'll leave that with Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. He removes from darkness into light. He does that. Last reference, as I said, the Quran is filled with this concept. And it's all connected in all aspects of Tawheed. Unfortunately, sometimes when it comes to guidance, we become mushrik. We think something else or someone else is going to do this. Our actions, especially when it comes to that, the bigger idol, or the biggest idol, ourselves, our nafs. The chapter that we're told to recite in the prayers, the daily prayers, with regards to the Prophet, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr. We sent the Quran to you. Doesn't say you did this, you did that. We sent the Quran. We revealed the Quran. And you yourself, in and of himself, ما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. We revealed it on Laylatul Qadr. You didn't even know what Laylatul Qadr is. I said, that's the last one, but another one just so that hopefully it's crystal clear. Surah Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Yusabbihu lillahi ma fi al-samawati wa ma fi al-ard, al-malik al-quddus al-aziz al-hakim, huwa al-lazi ba'atha fi al-qubnihi rasulam minhum, yatlu alayhim. Huwa. He's the one that raised. We leave the huwa, we go to the rest of, oh, the Prophet was raised from the Ummiyin. We focus on all of that. The emphasis is, huwa al-lazi. Everything in the heavens and the earth is doing tasbih of Allah, which means that we're nothing and you're everything. That's what tasbih means. We are nothing and therefore we cannot do anything, and you are everything and they do everything. After saying that, building off of that, huwa alladhi. The Prophet, the lantern of guidance. The most guided of all. He raised the Prophet. In and of yourself. Now you're going to hate me for this. Let me add another verse. Because tell me, there's so many. Surah Al-Duha. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. You in and of yourself are dhal. You're never guided. God guided. The Prophet is being told. God provides guidance. It comes from Him. We don't initiate. It comes from Him. This is a Quranic teacher. This is how you need to see. If you see you're praying, don't pat yourself on the back. Say, oh Allah, I didn't deserve this. Thank you. I've left to myself, I know what. If I'm here, if you give me tears, you pat yourself on the back. I shouldn't pat myself on the back. See, Abu Abdullah, I don't know. You're so good. I didn't deserve this. You gave it to me. And it's currently yours. It's not mine. And we say that to the Ahlul Bayt as Du'a Nutbah, it says, أَيْنَ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي يَتَوَجَّهُ إِلَيْهِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ. The Imam, the Ahlul Bayt, they're وَجْهُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي يَتَوَجَّهُ إِلَيْهِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ. So we say, we're saying to the Imam, we're looking at him in this way, وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. So it comes from Allah. The intermediaries are the Ahlul Bayt. وَجْهُ اللَّهِ are the Ahlul Bayt. Get it in that way. Understand it correctly. This has nothing to do with shirk. It has everything to do with tawheed. You, Abu Abdullah, I didn't deserve this. You gave this to me. Not thinking, oh, it must have been because of this thing I did that it was given to me. No, I didn't deserve it. You gave it to me. Because that previous thing that you think you did and it gave you this, that was given by them too. And the previous one, and the previous one, and the previous one, and the previous one. Say salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So that was difficult to continue with this topic, because it comes from them. So what are we supposed to do? It's just, you know, we're just supposed to wait for it to come, right? Well, it's a complex world. It's a very complex world. Keep that. I'm not going to be able to do justice to the topic of combining that with the rest of what I'm going to do. But keep that teaching. You think about it yourself. You're capable. Just instead of spending all the time with developing tech, as most people here apparently in the city or in that sector, try to think about some of these things to benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about who he gives these things to. It comes from him. And then he tells us what we need to have to receive. And if we don't have it, we can't receive. The Quran tells us about this. What are some of the qualities, what are some of the things that are required according to the Quran? What can we do? One of them, which is difficult, again, we have a lot of difficult concepts in the Quran, but recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There's something mentioned about being able to receive, and the more you have this, the more you're going to receive. And that is submission. Submission. I'll start with an example or a parable, a mathal that the Quran mentions in Surah Baqarah. Hopefully, it'll help us and guide us to the next verse that we're going to get to. God talks about the parable or the method of those who give charity. He says it's like planting one seed and then it yields, if I remember correctly, you do the math, it's about 700 times. And that figure is actually is figurative speech. It doesn't mean exactly 700 times. It means a lot. So it's a lot more than that. God's not limited to that figure. There's various factors and variables that will make a difference in that. So it uses this example. Think of soil, the seed, planting it, rain comes from God. The act that you do, the charity, which is not limited to paying money. If you smile at your spouse, it's charity. According to Hadith, you spend time with her or with him, it's charity. Not pity charity. A charity you should be happy with because God is rewarding you with the charity and the effects of it. Talk to your spouse. Spend time. Speak to your children. Speak to your parents. These are sadaqat. Any sadaqah you give is like a seed you're planting. God showers His mercy. Rain falls. You got to have soil. You have to have that seed planted, which is the action in soil. So you have the action. And then there's something, you know, I'm gradually opening this up. You have soil. The act is planted in soil, right? If you don't have soil, then it's not going to grow, right? What's that soil? It's your heart. It's your heart. Your niyat, your intentions. Your iman, your faith, your belief. If that seed, that good act, is planted in iman, and the stronger and purer and more fertile that iman is, that act is going to be yielding more. Okay. What'll make it grow? You have the soil. Those are two elements. There's a third element, water. Rain falls. And what happens is that it grows. God says in a couple of verses down, the parable, the method of those who give without believing in God. Or they give ri'a'an-nas. They have belief, but when they give that charity, they do it to show off to others. It's not for God. Or they give, and at that point they were sincere, but then later on, they see them on the street, you gave money to this individual, you paid charity, you bought them some food, you paid their bill, or whatever you did. When you see them, you rub it in. You remind them. That's adha. You bother them with it. You think the person liked receiving that from you? They had a hard time taking it from you. Now you're reminding them, putting them down, belittling them. God says, you do that? The parable is this. The charity you give is a seed. Yes, it's a seed. It's the same seed. But the soil is not soil. It's rock solid. It's a rock. It's a stone. With a thin layer of soil on top. You plant that seed, you think there's soil, but no, it's very thin. Beneath it is rock, it's concrete. And when God sends an abundance of rain, instead of it growing there, which is your heart, the rain washes it off. It washes the soil off. There's no more soil. And if that, well, an actual seed would probably grow somewhere else. It doesn't grow there. You get nothing out of it. The heart is very important. The state of the heart. What part of this, that iman, these different terms, one verse that talks about this, that mentions this. أَفَمَنْ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِيمَانِ or لِلْإِسْلَامِ, excuse me. The word we're looking for is this, لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Submission. The heart needs to be ready to submit. Submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening the doors of your heart and saying, God, I want to receive your mercy. Not submitting to Him, not submitting to His ways, not submitting to His commands, not submitting to His teachings. The acceptance at the level of the heart before acting upon it. It's important that you accept. Submission. What you say is right. Everything else. Al-haqqu min rabbikum. Truth only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything else is dalala, it's misguided, it's batil. Submission. Submission. This is one of the prerequisites of being able to receive. A lot of times our hearts are not submitting to Allah. We say we're Muslim. This ruling of Islam says, well, I think this, I think that. Really? And a lot of times we fail to recognize this. We don't realize that we are affected by a culture that we live in. And we think, oh, it's clear, everybody says this. How could Islam say that? It was in a city, I won't name it. His brother came and said, how could God say something illogical? And then he mentioned the rule. I don't want to get into that discussion. It was an Islamic rule. Like, ah, the fuqaha say this. How could Islam say this? This is wrong. Therefore, the fuqaha are wrong. Jurists now. Everybody says this. Everybody knows this. Really? Up to a few years ago, it was different. Everybody said something different. 20 years ago, it was different. Everybody then thought differently. Now everybody, so we have to change, the rules have to change based on what people feel. And then because everybody repeats it and says it, and they bring reasons that we don't even look into, they're not reasons. They're foolish. If we pay attention to them, just because everybody says it, we just accept that. And then when somebody comes and says, just what God says in the Quran, Quran says this, I can't accept this. Sorry, Maulana, I can't accept this. Well, you know, it has nothing to do with me, so I don't really care if you accept what I say or not. If it's my word, I don't want you to accept it. If it's God's word, it's up to you, but if you don't, then you'll face the consequences, not me. It's up to you. Submission to what God says, your heart being open to it. If we're not able to submit, then we're not going to be receiving guidance. Look at the verses of the Holy Quran in multiple verses, in different ways, different wording. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Istikbar is this. Somebody saying, no, that's not right. I don't think that's right. That's what istikbar means. I think I know better. I know too well to submit to this book. I know too well to submit to this man that calls himself the messenger of God. Who's he? Why should I follow him? Not realizing, instead of following Muhammad in Al Muhammad, we're following who? Who better to follow? Don't think you're all intelligent. No, you're just regurgitating everything that you're hearing. Like, you didn't come up with that. Submission. It's very important on that. I don't want to take any more time on that one. That's one. Another thing which we find in the Quran is approach and intention. Approach in life, not specific actions. Your approach towards life in general. Every day you wake up, you do different things. You eat, you dress, you shower, speak to people, converse, go to college, I don't know, go to work, go to school, spend time with family, friends, devices, all these different things. One's approach towards all of this, their thought process, because sometimes it's only mentioned in the context of religious acts, no, of life. And of course, the most important part of that is when it comes to actual religious activities. There's some who approach Islam, they approach the Quran, Islamic teachings, ahadith, du'as, prayer, hajj, and so on and so forth. With the intention to get to a certain goal, and that goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's your approach. A person's approach in life can be, and should be, wanting to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a prerequisite of receiving guidance, being a recipient. If that's not your approach, again, you're not going to get it. We're not going to be able to get it. Our approach in life, or the more we have that, because we can start with prayer and hajj and whatever, these religious acts. But that's going to be limited. The right way to do it is everything. See life as that. If your approach towards life is that, then you're going to be a recipient of guidance. If one's approach towards religion and life is not that, they're looking for mischief. Even the Quran, which is available, it's right there. Instead of it being guidance, it's going to be a source of misguidance. One can't receive it. Remember the stone example? Same idea. God's rain is pouring. His mercy is pouring. But instead of this person receiving it, it's a hard rock. Nothing grows from it. Just washes all the soil off. The little soil that's there gets washed off. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Imran, one of the places. It says that God revealed verses, some of them are muhkamat, وأخر متشابهات. And there are some that are following, looking for, searching for المتشابهات. They're not looking for the truth. They're not looking for guidance. Their approach isn't to get to God. They're looking to mess around. In which case. And there's a lot of them. You have people that use the verses of the Quran in the Muslim community, especially out here. One of the unfortunate things about the languages that don't have an abundance of resources, be it books and literature and or scholars, actual scholars, not people like me, not someone who's just spent years in the house. No, ulama. Ulama. English, or these Western languages, Eastern languages, or you don't have that. The problem is, one of the problems is because you don't have that, a lot of people are just coming up and they get a few words of Arabic down and maybe spend a day or two, a year or two, or even a decade or two in one of those cities, and God knows what they did. If they even spend time studying that, if they learn under teachers, if they tried to humble themselves and learn things, if they try to become better people, if they were in search of the truth themselves or not, come to bogus ideas, interpretations of verses and hadith, and people are like, oh, mashallah, that was such a great presentation, and I'm hearing that, like, I don't know what part of that was good. If we don't have those in other elements, we'll just limit it to that, the ones we mentioned. Try to open our hearts. Let's try to open our hearts. Let's try to make sure our approach in life is that. Let me end with this verse that I mentioned before as well. It's a reminder. Guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He says, I will provide it to these people. A verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah. يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنْ تَبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ. So I guide those people who are looking for and following whatever steps they realize lead to Ridwan of Allah, God being pleased with them. We hope that inshallah, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, the Imam of our time takes our hands. When we said God guides, it comes from that direction towards us. As we said in Dua Nudba, we say, أَيْنَ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ يَتَوَجَّهُ الْأَوْلِيَاءُ. The Imam of our time is the means and the intermediary that delivers that guidance to us. We receive guidance from Him. God's guidance comes through the Imam to us. He guides us. And so we ask Him on this night that He helps us. Whatever stubbornness that we have in our hearts, lack of submission, and arrogance, feeling like I know more, I understand more, Ya Sahib al-Zaman, you clear that up. I can't even do that myself. That needs to come from you as well. What we can do is really beg for that. The things that we mentioned earlier, if you connect the dots, and I'm sure you're fully capable of doing that, it leads to you realizing that what you can do is only asking. All we do is ask and beg. The problem with not having taslim and submission is you don't want to beg that source. You're rejecting it. So we ask the Imam of our time, inshallah, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam of our time, by the right of the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, So Allah Ya'aliha, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala guides us. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya decision to go, even if you think it's not possible. If Allah wants, if Imam al-Hussein calls you, he'll make it happen. So many people have experienced this. Submit to it. Don't allow your heart to say no. Those are myths. Those are not true. They are true. Open your eyes. See how everything you have has been given to you. He gave you those opportunities. Everything we have is from Hassan. If we understand. بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْمَرَامُ Allah sends His blessings because of the Imam to all of us. The oxygen we inhale, the food we eat, the water we drink, the jobs we have, the clothes we have, everything we have. We're so ungrateful, we don't see God's hands in it. We don't see the Ahlul Bayt in it. As the verses of the Qur'an say, When we're in need, in desperation, we plead to them. We say, pray for me. After they give it, we turn a blind eye and forget. Sallallahu alayka ya Mawla. Amongst the Ahlul Bayt that were with Imam Al-Husayn, some of those who remember distinctly on these nights are the children of Zainab, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Aun and Muhammad. Salawatullah wa salamu alayki. يا عقيلة بني هاشم روحي لك الفداء There's much to say about Zainab صلاه الله عليها There's not a night that we remember her distinctly. Let me mention a few words about her before we get to her children. She's called Ummu al-Masa'ib. Ya Zainab, we beg you to take us to Karbala on Arba'in. You were the one who started this. You were the one under the instructions of Imam Zain al-Abidin who said that we want to go to Karbala before we go to Medina. Umm al-Masa'ib. She was only a few years old. She was standing in the house when they burned the door of her house. When she heard the call, Ya Zilla Tukhudini. Every time she would stand in prayer afterwards, Amir al Mu'mineen looks at her. He remembers the halal in Kufa when Amir al-Mu'mineen was being taken home. He was being carried. His head is bleeding on the 19th of the month of Ramadan. The account says they're carrying him. He's in pain. He's losing blood. But when they get close to the house, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, put me down. Say, why? Ali says, I don't want Zainab to see me like that. On his last moments, Amir al-Mu'mineen looked at his children. They were all crying. He tells Hassan and Hussein and Abbas and others to be patient. But then when he looks at Zainab, he can't control his tears. He begins to weep. Back in Medina, Zainab was a witness to her brother Imam al-Mujtaba. When he saw him coughing up blood on his last moments, and now she's in Karbala. Their arrival in Karbala one way, the night of Ashura one way, on the day of Ashura, ruhi lak still fida. After Ashura in a different way, but at the same time that she's Ummul Masarib. After Zahra, she's the strongest lady we have in our history. She didn't come alone to Karbala. She brought her children. You can imagine a mother's love for her children. Thankfully, with pride, Lady Zainab sent her children to the battlefield to ask their uncle to go to the battlefield. Some of the mothers of Shuhada these days have learned from Zainab. That's how they behave. It's difficult for a mother to send her child to the battlefield. But it's even more difficult when you hear news of the shahada of your child. One of the things, I'm not a mother, but we see what the shuhada, the mothers want to see the body of their young ones, the bodies of their sons. But Zainab salamullahi alayha, although she's a mother, when she got the news that her sons were martyred, she knew if she goes out over their bodies, her brother sees that, it will hurt him, he'll feel bad. Zainab kept that to herself. She didn't even go to visit the bodies of her sons. But it says that when Ali ibn al-Akbar called his father, inshallah, we all learn from that. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. Wa sayya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yamqalibun. Allahumma inna nas'aluka wa nad'uuk. Bismika al-azim al-a'zam. Zahra'i wa abimaha wa ba'liha wa banimha. السر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. والله send the return of our Imam. Enable us to be his true and close companions. والله protect all those helping the cause of Islam, especially our ulama, especially our maraja, and most so our beloved leader. Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, all believers, those who are alive, those who left this world. Ya Allah, grant all of us our hajjat, our needs, our requests. Cure all the ill from amongst us, here in this city and globally. O Allah, by the rights of the Imam of our time, we ask you to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they are facing. Bin Nabi wa Ali, rahimallah man qara al-Fatiha ma'as-salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد.
Yahusei.
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 Yahusei.